You have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 22. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I know a lot of you, some of you traveled and you've already gotten back. You've gone to spend time with family, and some of you went to spend time with friends. Some of you cooked at home and hosted a lot of people there. And so I hope you had a great Thanksgiving with family and friends. We're going to do something today that is really close to what we've already done this week, and that's we're going to be taking of a very special meal. And one in which we remember. We talked last week, and you've probably focused this week on remembering what you were thankful for. A traditional meal that we take together. And today we're going to be taking the bread and the juice to remember the Lord's death until He comes. And as a part of that celebration, as a part of that observance of His death and His life, toward the end of this, as an element of our worship, we're going to be showing a video. And in that video, it has clips. It's going to, I hope, be a great aid for you in worship today. But there are clips in that from the Passion movie. So parents, there are some realistic scenes about the death of Jesus in there. And so if you feel comfortable, you can keep your kids in here. And if not, when we turn the lights down, if you want to make a quiet exit, that would be fine too. So I just want to let you know that will be coming up. We're going to be looking in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 7. So if you have your Bibles, we'll be beginning in verse 7. It'll be up here on the screen if you don't. Says this, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. And he replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. And so they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you that I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Well, I want to tell you, There's something new that I see in this every time that I read it, every time that I meditate on it and say, God, what is it you want me to learn from here? And then one of the things that I noticed here in this passage, it's mentioned four times between verses 7 and 13 is this. It says this in verse 8, Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations. Listen, look at that word prepare. Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. And then they say to him, where do you want us to prepare for it? And then a third time, it goes on to say, verse 12, he will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. And verse 13, they left and found things just as Jesus had told them. And so they prepared the Passover. Over and over and over, it talks about the need to make preparations for the Passover. They're going to make preparations. Well, we talked a little bit about this last Sunday, and probably this week, either in your family or the home that you went to, there were a lot of preparations that were made for the meal. And here Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's asking them to go and make sure that the 13 of us, now I don't know how many people you hosted for Thanksgiving, or the people who hosted you, how many they hosted for Thanksgiving, but he's saying this, go and make preparations. There's one of me, there's 12 of you, there's 13 of us at least, and preparations need to be made as we share in this Passover. Well, this Thanksgiving for Penny and I was very special in the sense that we started a new tradition. We've been married in about a month, we'll be married 16 years. And we have, for 16 years, we've gone, we've rotated Penny's parents or to my parents at Thanksgiving. My parents live in North Carolina. My wife's parents live in Dallas, Texas. And so we'll go to one set of parents one year and one set of parents the next year. And just last year, really on the drive back from Thanksgiving, I was talking to Penny. I said, you know what? I think our kids are about the age that I really would like to begin to establish some Thanksgiving traditions in our home. What do you think about that? So we began to talk about that, and we talked with our parents about that. They were great. They're super understanding. They said, you know, your kids are getting that age. It'd be great for you to do stuff at home. And we've invited them to come with us. And so we began something new. For the first time in 16 years, we had Thanksgiving in our home where we were responsible for all the stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so we've been really making preparations for about a year for this week. And so there was a lot of excitement in our home all year long, really, as we talked about it. And then as we got closer, you know, we started realizing we don't have anything by way of what you need for Thanksgiving dinner. We realized about a month we don't have a turkey platter. We don't have anything big enough to put it on. And so we began to talk about making preparations for that. Wouldn't it be neat if we had a platter that our kids, until they leave our house, and even when they come back, this is mom and dad's turkey platter. When I see that, I think of home. I think of tradition. I think of my parents. And so we began to think about what can we do about that? And then this, for about 3 weeks ago, I became addicted to the Food Network. And I mean, I was DVR and I was recording Paula Deen. I was recording the Everyday Italian Lady. And all these people that were having all these Thanksgiving meal specials. And I was recording show after show after show after show. And I love to cook. I really do. If I hadn't gone to seminary, I'd have gone to culinary school. I don't know. In fact, Penny was talking with somebody this week, and she was talking about what a good job I'd done. She said, I think he may have missed his calling. And it was somebody from church. And I was like, don't say that to somebody at church, that I may have missed my calling. But we were talking about, we spent a lot of time gathering recipes and talking about what we thought everybody would like, and we went to the store early and got everything. We were making preparations. The night before, we took out all the things that we thought we'd be cooking with and all the utensils that we were going to have and all the food, laid it out so the next morning we could get up, had the house clean, had the table set, got up. And we had a great time. We had a great time cooking. We had a great time getting ready for it. We had a great time cooking with our kids and talking about it with them and making preparations. Preparations were important. They were important. This morning, as we take of the juice and the bread, somebody made preparations. They prepared so that we could share in this worship experience together. Every Sunday, and this Sunday too, as we get ready to share and worship together, Mark and I talked several times this week about preparing for today. What would today look like? How's today going to flow? What's the elements of today? What's it going to be? What does God want as we listen to the Spirit? What's He saying? Preparations. You've heard probably every great coach say something about the importance of preparation. Most coaches love to quote this, that winning has 90% to do with preparation, right? And 10% to do with perspiration. It's a beautiful picture, but 90% to do with preparation. And they talk about preparation and the need to prepare, the need to get everything ready. And Jesus even said to his disciples earlier on, do you remember this? He was preparing them. He was preparing them that he was going to leave. He was going to go away. And he knew that there might be some confusion. He knew that who he was and who he was in their lives. And so he wanted to prepare them for what was going to happen afterwards. What would it be like for those 3 days that he would be in the tomb? And so he said to them before he died, he said, I'm going to go and do what? I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come again. I'm going to go prepare a place for you so that you can come and be with me also. So why all this talk about preparation? Why the need to prepare? Why is it when we think about a farmer that the need for the way that things grow, the way that they grow the best is what does he have to do? He has to prepare the soil. He has to get it ready. He has to till it up. He has to make sure that it's ready to receive. Just a while ago, I was praying about the fruits of the Spirit. Those things that we think about. If I were to ask you this morning, every person in here would answer the same to this question. Do I want to have the best life possible? Every person in here would say, well, sure, I want to have the best life possible. I mean, whatever that looks like, whatever that means, whatever God's perspective is, whatever my perspective is, I want to have the best life possible. Well, in the Bible, it kind of outlines that when it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And it says the fruits of the Spirit are love. We all want that. And joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Man, If I had all those things, I wouldn't need anything else. But you know what they are? They're fruits. They're a result of something that happens in our life. And you know what they're a result of? They're a result of a life that's been prepared. It's a result of a life that the soil of your life has been prepared so that you can produce that kind of fruit. So that your life can look like that. Do I want to have the best life possible? Yeah, but you know what? It's not just going to slap me in the face. I'm not just going to wake up one day and just be surprised at what an incredible life I have. What's going to happen is that the way that you and I begin to step in and receive and be the kind of people that we live and walk with joy and peace, that I become a kind and gentle person, that I live a life with patience, how do we do that? We prepare the soil of our hearts. Jesus said this, we're about to experience God. We're about to have a worship experience. Let's be prepared. Let's prepare. If you want to have the best life possible, what's that look like? Get prepared. How do you get prepared? You know what? Begin our day and say, God, before my feet hit the floor, God, I want my mind to be on You. I'm going to prepare myself for this day. I want my mind on You today, God, more than anything else. We go to bed at night. God, we prepare our minds. God, I want my mind to be on You. I want you to prepare me to be whoever You want me to be. I want to say, God, I thank You for what I've seen this day. I'm sorry for what I've done this day that didn't please You. We get through with work. We're on the drive home. Dads, we say, God, prepare me as I leave my work and I walk into my home that I wouldn't walk in with just an attitude to receive. But I would walk in to give my best to the people that lie before me and that my best has not been already given today. Prepare me as I walk in with these people. Prepare me. Prepare me. God, I want You to, you know what the Scripture says? It says that the Holy Spirit, and you'll hear us talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. I grew up in an environment where the Holy Spirit was talked about. I really didn't understand it. Sometimes I was kind of like scared of it, like it's because of the Holy Ghost, you know? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives inside you and I. And the Scripture says that when there are things in our life that are not pleasing to the Father, you know what happens to the Holy Spirit? He's grieved. And when He's grieved, He's not active in my life. And He's not moving in your life. But when we say, God, you know what? I recognize what I've done. I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to become a different person. I want You to make me a different person. And we begin to put those things in action. We begin to be selfless. We begin to look. You know what? The reason I exist is completely for You and completely for other people. And I am going to meet the needs of all the people around me. And the Holy Spirit just begins to work in our lives. And you know what happens? We begin to get patient. We begin to be kind. We begin to be gentle. We begin to have self-control because the Holy Spirit is freed up in us when we say, this is what I want to get out of the soil of my life and this is what I want to put into the soil of my life. Prepare me. Listen, if you and I want to meet God, if we want to be like Him, if we want to have the life that He wants for us, we get prepared. Let's go on. And the Scripture says that the reason that they're getting together is because of the Passover. Now, you and I don't know a whole lot about the Passover. Why? Because we have a Christian tradition. We don't really have a Jewish tradition. We don't really celebrate a lot of the Jewish holidays. But throughout the New Testament, the Passover is mentioned over and over and over and over. We see it many times. One time, for instance, is the reason, remember when Jesus is 12 years old and Joseph and Mary go to Jerusalem and Jesus is left there and they're going back home and they realize that Jesus is not with them. They have to go back to Jerusalem. They're going to Jerusalem for the Passover. The Passover was a one-day celebration that was before a week-long celebration. And sometimes it was called the Passover celebration. It was 7 days. But there was a meal that people of the Jewish faith, and it was celebrated in Jerusalem, and they celebrated this, and they had done it every year for almost 1,500 years. 1,500 years they celebrated the Passover. You know why? Because when the nation of Israel was in Egypt, and they had been in Egypt, and they had been slaves for 400 years, God sent 10 plagues to Pharaoh, trying to get him to let the Israelites go. And the last plague that he sent, he said this: since you won't let my people go, I'm going to send a death angel, and the firstborn of every child in this nation is going to be slain unless there is the blood of a lamb over the door. And so the Israelites killed a lamb, took the blood of that lamb, put it over their doorpost, and when the death angel came over that night, every door that had the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, those children, those firstborn, were spared when the death angel passed over. And so they celebrated Passover. And so, you know, this week when you got together and you said, oh my goodness, you know, it ain't Thanksgiving unless I got sweet potatoes. I got to have sweet potatoes. You know, it ain't Thanksgiving unless I've got cornbread stuffing, or I've got this, or I've got that. And you had, there's just certain things you know it's going to be at Thanksgiving every year. You know what happens with the Passover? There were certain things that they celebrated every year, and it had significance. You know what they had? They had a lamb. And you know what they remembered when they had lamb at the Passover meal? They remembered the blood of the lamb that was put over the doorpost. You know what else they had? They had bitter herbs. They'd have bitter herbs in their meal. And you know what that reminded them of? The bitterness of slavery. And so they remembered. You know what they remembered? When they remembered what? What happened after the death angel went over? Pharaoh let them go and God delivered them. But you know what else they had? They had salt. You know what salt reminded them of? It reminded them of their tears. You know what else they had? They had bread, and it was unleavened bread. And that reminded them that they had to get out of Egypt so quickly that they didn't have time to bake their bread. It hadn't even risen, so they had unleavened bread. And they had paste, and the paste reminded them of the mortar that they used to make bricks in Egypt. And they had 4 glasses of wine, and the wine represented the 4 promises of God in Exodus chapter 6 that said, I'll deliver you, and I'll be your God forever. And He gave them 4 promises. And so they celebrated. They celebrated for 1,500 years. And you know what Jesus did? He stood before them with this cup and He said, you know what? This cup is the new cup of the new covenant. It's pretty bold, isn't it? 1 year, 2 year, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, 1,500 years. And He looks at them and says, you see this cup? This is the new cup. You've been drinking this wine for 1,500 years. This is the new cup of my blood that represents the fulfillment of the real deliverance that we've been talking about for 1,500 years. It's in me. Listen, why do we do this? Jesus says, when you do it, I want you to do it and remember me. Remember me. This morning, I want to encourage you to prepare yourself, to prepare your hearts, and remember. Why do we do it? To remember the cost, to remember the sacrifice, to remember the willingness of Jesus. And as we watch this video, I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you to remember this, that what you see, He did it for you. He did it for you.